Kazaa. Welcome to this first Sunday of the season of Lent. Lent started with Ash Wednesday, this last Wednesday, which was also Valentine's Day. We thought we would double up with Hallmark, but you know, we can't always plan these things. So Lent starts today, and it will go through Easter, to Easter. And in that time, we journey together through a time of reflection, specifically in our services around vulnerability, how vulnerability resides within us and how we communicate it with others, how it resides within our community, and how we can also be about listening with a heart that holds vulnerability as Jesus does. And so you are welcome into this place, however you come. We like to offer a gift of popcorn for those who are visiting with us for the first time. It's a gift for popping in. So I know the Moritelli family has lots of family here. We'll get you a whole bag, how about that, of popcorn. They get to celebrate baptism later on today. And are there any others that are here for the first time? Well, welcome everyone, and Pua, I'll let you share with us what's going on today.
Aloha kakahiaka. Good morning. I would like to share with you some of the things going on in the life of our church. And please refer to your bulletin for any other chances for spiritual growth and continuing to help with the life of our church. Psalms through Lent brings you to think about new birth, and we invite you to take home, take some time to color, reflect, and pray with the psalms. Today is Have a Heart Sunday. It's the annual Have a Heart Reach Out offering to benefit Global AIDS Fund. Lend your support by drawing a heart on the subject line of your check and send loving help to these victims. Grant applications are available. The Permanent Endowment Committee requests grant applications for activities and initiatives connected with Mountain View that do not receive regular funding in the church budget. And applications are due by March 30, 2018. And the Adult Forum Lenten Study on Jesus' Last Week is continuing on Sundays at 9:03 in room 205. Please stand for greetings and passing of the peace, and please greet each other with a handshake or an embrace, and tell one another about a time you needed help from a neighbor.
Sing it once, and if you would all join in singing it twice. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, lift up your hearts to the Lord.
To you, Lord, we lift up our hearts. In you we trust. Do not let us be put to shame.
Our God is full of compassionate love. He brings sinners back to his way and teaches the humble the way they should go.
And Annie, you can help, and Bill, you can help. I'm going to have you stand right here, right back here a little bit, and you stand here, Julia, and Eleanor, you stand here. Yeah. Are you help? You want to help too? Come over here. You can stand right here, and Annie's going to hold it, but then I'll give you some other things to do, okay? This is so cool. The reason we do all of this is because it's an exciting and an exciting celebration for everyone. There's so much mystery in this sacrament. That's what sacrament means, mystery. But there's also a lot of joy. So,
friends, we gather together through the sacrament of baptism, and we're called into being and becoming Christ's holy church. Through God's gift of new birth through water and the Spirit, we come into a new relationship of commitment to God. Baptism makes known God's real and present love and grace. For such grace comes before us, calling us into repentance and a deep desire to grow in love with God. Baptism affirms one's belovedness, now to be embraced and to respond. The good news is that God, through Jesus Christ, had made this possible.
On behalf of the members of this congregation of Mountain View United Methodist Church, I present Cherise, Mac Franco, and Rocco Hall as for holy baptism.
Thank you, Bill. So I'm going to ask the three of you to come forward, and because we have different levels of ability to respond, we're going to ask different questions. So Cherise is going to be baptized as an adult, and then we'll baptize Mac and Rocco, and we'll have their parents speak on their behalf. So Cherise, I'm going to ask you questions first. Do you reject all that is evil, repent of your sins, and reject the freedom and power God, and accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, with Christ, who has opened it and his doors to all people? If so, say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will. Great. All right, Mac and Rocco, we're going to let your parents speak on your behalf today. So, Mike, you can join Cherise up here. As parents and we also have sponsors here too, right? Sponsors, can you come forward? What's your name, sir?
Tyler,
I'm Sarah. Good. Thank you for loving on these kids and this family. So you're going to respond with them as your commitment, okay? As parents and sponsors, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject all that is evil, repent of your sins, and accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil in the world? So say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. Great. Will you nurture and bless these boys in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for them, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. Great. Congregation, this is where you get to make a commitment to all of these people. So I'm going to ask you a question which has a really easy response, and then we'll get to this one. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment of faith in Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Great. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these people now before you in your care? We will respond together.
With God's help, we will so honor Christ after the example of Christ, that these children of God, by steadfast love, may be established in faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
All right, so we have this water for baptism. Julia, can you hold this? Mac and ladies, Eleanor, come over right in between Julia and I. You turn this way. And you are going to mix up this water. Can you put your fingers in it and mix up this water a little bit? It's nice and warm. And the reason we mix it up is because that's what God did in the beginning of the world. You can put your fingers in here too, Julia. He mixed up the world to help bring about creation and all good things. All right?
Eternal God, the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation, to the deliverance of your people through the flood and through the Red Sea, to the life of Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John and anointed by your Holy Spirit, you have poured out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift with water and those who receive it. May it envelop these beloved children of God in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his triumphant victory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, stir these waters. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for your help. All right, Charisse, I'm going to ask if you, do you mind kneeling? Is that okay? If you'll just kneel, you're
okay. Kneel. Look at that, help her get up.
That's fine, that's there, yeah. And Annie, I'm going to have you stand right here. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May this water give you new life, always and ever, in your walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Mac, you get to go next. All right. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May you know God's love always and ever. All right. And I have the great joy of holding this one. Hi, buddy. Mr. Rocco, you get a little bit of water today.
We baptize you in the name of the Father. The Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's grace be with you all the days of your life, and may He give you strength and courage unbounded.
Amen. I want to introduce you to Charisse and Mac Franco and Rocco Walt as new members in your body of Christ. I think all we get to do, oh, do we have a question?
Members of the household of faith, I commend your love and care of these persons this day. You empower, increase their, do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Please do.
I think the answer I was looking for is a good clap. So,
thank you.
activity that frees us from a lot of connections that we might not know otherwise make. Here at the prayer ground right now in this hour is this coloring page, which I hold like this. It'll be outside, and you're encouraged just to go and color. You know, we made puzzles, we've done different things with this over this period of time, and this will make actually each week the song, the call to worship, and she needs it outside. The song that it represents is the lead piece to our worship, our call to worship, so there is a connection there. We have a time for joys and concerns as a community of faith. This helps make us one. This helps strengthen our bond of encouragement one of another, because none of us gets through this life by ourselves. We get through this life connected to one another and to God in Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to share something that you're concerned about or happy about, something in the community or something in the world that you'd like to lift up to the congregation? Please stand up. Please stand up. This is your news. Say it out loud. A baby girl expected August 6th. Congratulations. And then there were two. Who else? Joys or concerns? There you are. Hi, baby. A good friend, Trudy, is entering hospice. And,
She's our tutor for their children.
And so prayers for Trudy. And her father's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer and scans this week, so prayers for patience and peace as they await medical determination. Yes. What?
I'd like to express condolences
for the family of Cliff Hyman, a former member of Mountain View. Many of you remember he and she as well sang in the choir. Is an integral part to this congregation. Chuck Morrison has passed away. We remember him. And Herb Vincent's family has had the death of a great nephew, Keenan Ezekiel Flores, who passed away this past week. I think it's important that we acknowledge in the community of faith the death, murder of all of those children and their teachers in Florida. Prayers of concern and guidance and support for those families who must just be beyond grief. Who else? Who else? Yes, Marion.
We found out yesterday that a friend of ours who has had cancer of his office has had news that he's free of cancer for the first time in many years, and it's just a gift.
Prayers of joy for a friend of theirs who has had cancer of the esophagus. He received news this week. Yeah. That he is free of cancer for the first time in many years.
And we were also told for anyone who has worries about cancer that the research is absolutely moving forward fast. And so all of us worried may have good hope.
And anyone who's concerned about cancer has good hope, some research coming forward that's moving very quickly against this killer. Thank you, Mary. Others? Yes, joy, Stephen.
That we're here today, and many thanks to everyone for the prayers and support regarding this condition. Here with us today and seemingly hungry.
And seemingly hungry, this is the little one. Can you stand? Let's show the baby off, because this is like the perfect little person. And this is her first time in church today, so we'll give her popcorn. Thanks for popping out. Blessings to you. Congratulations. All right. Other joys or concerns you'd like to share? It's very rare that we get silent moments in our life. Something's playing in the background, some noise in the neighborhood, something mowing the grass. It's very rare in our community that we get silence. And I covet this time of prayer together in silence before the Lord. Thank you.
if we have the wisdom to listen, how would you bless us if we took the time to hear? Our minds, our ears, our lives are so full of noise and static. How might we respond differently if we were able to hear your voice? You call us to love, you call us to healing, you call us to wholeness. And deep down we know these things are what we crave and desire. But lesser things, other things, compulsions, worries, fears, take up so much bandwidth. How can we have any room for you, O God? And in this time of prayer, change us. Change our hearts. Change us from the inside out, that your possibilities might come to the fore and your light might guide our path. Be with these your people who you love and who seek to love you in all things. As we pray together as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our next song requires a leader and a follower. If you'll stand, we're going to be led this morning by our music master, Steve Burchard. Please rise as we sing together this refrain. Offering, and we're going to make an offering worth receiving.
We're going to give as we can. We're going to do what we're able to do. We're going to make the difference we can make. And we're going to strive. We're going to strive for God's presence in our life. In both the waters of baptism and the waters of birth and the waters of life, we're going to strive to do the best we can for His kingdom right here, right now. This morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew, Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Jesus, walk and cleanse these bones.
This season of Lent, we're going to be preaching a series on vulnerability. We're going to utilize parables in the Bible to illustrate different ways people have been and continue to be vulnerable in society and in themselves. We'll be looking at how Jesus responds to that vulnerability and how we can use that response as a springboard into faith and into life. Oftentimes, we see our vulnerabilities as weaknesses, as limitations, as sources of shame, and we pretend that they are not with us, as if pretending would make it true. But Jesus, our Lord, actually embraces vulnerability as a strength and a means of building resiliency within us. Now, nobody likes this feeling of being exposed. But it may be especially in these times when we must admit to our need for others and our need for God that we allow ourselves the grace necessary to free us from our self-imposed prisons of fear and control. So through this Lenten series, we'll be exploring vulnerability as manifested in our lives, especially as a resource for developing resilience, as a signpost for guiding us in the growth of our faith, especially those things that are considered too sensitive or too taboo to talk about. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Today is the crux of the biscuit, as they say. Lent is a crucial time of the year for Christians, especially in a literal sense, because the word cross or crucial comes from the Latin word crux or cross. So you didn't know I could speak Latin, and boy, I didn't know you could speak Hebrew, but nicely done. Two rough hewn timbers, upright, wedged with a square hole in the rock, that is where the cross main beam rested. And the cross beam lashed with cords of rope, these mark the intersection of human history. There on the cross of Jesus, not just the famous way of sorrows, Via della Rosa, that Jesus walked, leads to the cross, but every road that has ever been traveled. It's our road, it's your road. This is the crossroads of life, both in Jesus' times and in our own. For sooner or later, we must all come to terms with the troubling aspects of life, its darkness as well as its light, its vulnerabilities as well as its sufferings, as well as its unequivocal triumphs. For today, we are traveling the road of our intractable indulgences and our self-made prisons. And Jesus would tell us in this passage of Scripture, there is another way. Going to the very heart of vulnerability, we can come this morning to acknowledge the fact that if we cling too tightly to our sin and brokenness, we can never change. If we're too comfortable in our dysfunction, we may never see the opportunities to grow. If we don't give God the A-OK for him to enter in, we shall remain stuck in the prisons of our own making forever and ever and ever. This past week on Ash Wednesday, Pastor Sarah and I had the privilege, the bright idea, the chance to go down on Pearl Street Mall and offer ashes for a blessing. And you would believe the remarkable responses we got. A lot of no, a lot of I don't hear you, a lot of I'm good. What does that mean? Oh, I'm good. Man, I'm good. I don't need a blessing. And also from some of the most unlikely characters, some of the down and out, some of the most needy persons. Receive the blessing with such grace and enthusiasm. It was enough to bowl a fellow over. It may not have made much of a difference in their life, but I can tell you that offering God's blessing to another person wells up a source of water inside of me that comes out the eyes and floods the heart. One guy, high as a kite, said, yeah, man, I could use a blessing, dude. Sure. And then, upon receiving the ashes, remember that you are a child of God, and in this Lenten journey, that you are loved and forgiven. And that was for real. I saw it in your eyes. Dude. reflect on our obsessions, if you and I reflect on our fears, if you and I reflect on what drives us, we may very well learn that these things tell us things that just aren't true. Rather than what is true, our convictions, our obsessions, our programs for success drive us so hard in life to tell us what they want us to hear. And this holds us back. The alcoholic hears her vice saying to her, "Everything's great, I'm doing fine, man." Meanwhile, her relationships are suffering. The drug addiction convinces its captive that this is the only way to fly. Meanwhile, focus is being blurred and opportunities are being lost. The sex-obsessed hears that they will always feel their loneliness. They'll always live in darkness. They'll always know their shame. Meanwhile, the soul is being crushed and the objectified other remains a false, unobtainable make-believe. The long and short of it is that in crucial times such as these, we consider the impact of our weaknesses and vulnerabilities and see that Christ offers us a different way. First off, instead of popular cures, instead of fads and fixes, Jesus asks a very pertinent question. Do you want to be healed? He asks us, do we? Are we so comfortable with where we've been, this man for over 38 years, that to think about changing it really shakes us up? Do you really want to get well? Is a question that you and I struggle with on a daily basis as we go about our radical behaviors, our rants, our difficult questions that don't have answers, we dig ourselves into a deeper hole. Do we really want to get well? If we want to change the trajectory of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, and the influence of our compulsions, it's likely we're going to have to answer this question in the affirmative. And we will not do that, I assume, until we realize how much we need God's help. Was it Winston Churchill said that America will always do the right thing right after they do all the wrong things first? We answer this question, do you want to get well, as a first step to renouncing our white-knuckling of life. We answer this question, do you want to get well, as the first step in a journey that frees us from the unfulfilling control that we yearn after in life. We answer this question, do you want to get well, only after we've tried everything else. But we have to be ready to turn loose of something if we want to get free. There by the pool of Bethsaida is finally this man ready to reclaim his life. After 38 years, what does that make him, about 50? 58, 59? Well, wait, this is a good person now. He's finally finished with waiting on the bubbling waters and the kindness of strangers to get him down to the water's edge to get the cure. What's the cure the world offers instead of what Jesus offers? The addiction recovery community has a saying, when a person is sick and tired of being sick and tired, they're ready to seek true recovery. Maybe that's where this man is after 38 years, a lifetime. And at this crucial point, Jesus intersects with this man in a casual conversation. Would you like to get well? For at last, he is prepared to embrace a new path and renounce his old ways of living and move in another direction entirely with God. 38 years plus, and he's done with false promises. He's done with outright lies. He's done with blurred vision. He's finally willing to receive the freedom and healing which Jesus offers, even without promises, even without guarantees. I learned this week that the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet, and in one leap, 30 feet in a bound. But when you watch them in the zoo, they're held captive by a fence that's no bigger than 3 feet wide. Why is that? Turns out, the African impala will not jump from a place unless it knows where its feet are going to land. Right? And I wonder, could this also be true for us? We want to be free. We'd like to know healing. We'd be encouraged to have something different happen. It's so boring to be stuck in one place forever and ever. Amen. But we won't leap because we don't know where we're headed. We can't tell where our feet are going to land, and so we're kept imprisoned by a little piece of blindness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This from the book of Hebrews. Faith is the ability, friends, to trust what cannot be known. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of fear which we have constructed of our own making and which entrap us day by day. How do we get free? How do we get free? How do we get free? Jesus has a way for us to do that. Several months ago, I heard in a sermon, and I shared with you then, and I'll share with you again because I'm reminded of it, that faith is not a leap from point A to point B. That is not what Christ is asking of us. Faith is not a leap from point A to point B. Faith is a leap from point A. Period. There's no roadmap. We don't know what the future holds. Jesus is asking us to trust and in faith try and try again. As we move forward through life with the uncertainties, with the disappointments, with the violence, the fears, the compulsions. Think about those in your own life. You do what you've always done, you remain who you've always been. And is that where we want to live? Jesus has another way. He wants for us not just healing, he wants wholeness. And that's a completely different ballgame, ladies and gentlemen. That's a whole other level of experience. Healing comes really very naturally. You cut yourself in the garden, you wash out the wound. Maybe a bandage, maybe some salve to hurry things up, right? And you heal. I mean, Bob's your uncle, you're healed. Healing is not that unusual, but it's wholeness that Jesus is asking us to pursue. And in order to discover wholeness, in order to know peace, in order to have existential fulfillment, we must commit to pulling down some of the barriers and boundaries and defenses we've pulled up around us in our fear, in our compulsion, in our brokenness, and let God in. Shalom or peace or wholeness demand that we allow God to rebuild us from the pieces of our shattered lives, to allow God to pick up the pieces and put them together in a new way. Now, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I heard this week an interesting story about this window back here. I'd never heard this story before. Maybe some of you can verify it. This is the Percival window. It was donated by the same person and family who donated our pipe organ. And it is made up, at least in part, with broken pieces of stained glass from the cathedrals of Europe from World War II. Broken pieces of glass from the cathedrals of Europe, shattered, laid out on the ground, picked up by somebody, shipped here to the United States, built into a window, and made into something beautiful, really inspiring. Out of the brokenness, out of the ashes, out of the lost hope, Jesus has another way. But this is an image of our lives, not just yours, mine, and everyone. It's part of the human condition to know our brokenness and in Jesus Christ to know we can do something about it. Jesus offers another way. This morning's Are You Willing to Be Healed becomes a personal, potent, multi-level invitation to transform this existence.
Do you want to be healed? Do I want to be healed? Do we want to travel a different road and continue to grow and learn and build? That's the question. But it's not just for momentary healing. It is for a lifetime of wholeness that Jesus calls us. That's a whole different level of participation. In addiction theory, and I think in all of our compulsions, we come to expect that in ourselves and in others, there'll be steps forward and steps back. Just because someone says, I want to be free of alcohol or whatever it might be, doesn't mean that they are one and done. It's not how it works with human beings. It's a lifetime of choosing life over and over and over again. I wonder what happened to this man after Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He says, yeah, sure, I do. Pick up your mat and walk. The Pharisees give him a hard time. Wait, you got your priorities mixed up. It was about following the rules. And you got healed on Sunday. That's no good. That's not the point. The adventures of missing the point go beyond that to, do we want to be healed? And we say, well, maybe not today. Maybe another time. Maybe next week. Next week's good. Have your secretary call my secretary and soon find a day. Right? Do I really want to be healed? Jesus has another way. To be healed once is not enough. To yearn for healing day in and day out is not enough. To accept the healing just once. And to repeat that experience can lead us down a path to wholeness, to life, to adventure. There's no map that can hold it. Only Christ, as our leader and guide, as our adventurer, can show us the path. Do you want to be here? Jesus is the one who takes up the broken pieces and puts them together into something beautiful. A life free of the tiny enclosures that we have built for ourselves, all but for the courage of saying yes to God. This season of Lent, we're going to be talking about our vulnerabilities. These are the doorways that God enters into our life. These are the passageways, the this way sign of what we need to work on as human beings in our relationship with each other and with God. Where do you feel broken? Where do I? What are our vulnerabilities? We are so ashamed of them. And yet Jesus would use these very things as a bridge to a brand new life. Amen. is not necessarily made to be easy, but what we know that Christ has another plan, that hope has another avenue, that grace has another place for us to be. We move from our prisons of darkness and despair into new life and new light. By the love of Jesus Christ, may you this Lent know his promise.